It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, here daily, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. every afternoon, doing exactly what the dude just said, talking about what's solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, folks, let me tell you real quickly about my friends over at eTaxBreaks, eTaxBreaks.com. That's the website, eTaxBreaks.com. They are in a business that has been around like with 23 years of experience. They have been finding people money that they didn't know they qualified for. Oh, I got your attention now. So if you run a business, any business, and you have done any number of things you might think are common sense, you may be surprised to find out there's programs out there, like over 3,000 programs that will literally pay you for having done good common sense stuff. Like, did you hire a veteran? Did you locate your business in a certain geographic location? Did you keep your employees on through the pandemic? Any number of things. Well, last month alone, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month, and they don't get paid unless they find you money. I'd check them out if I were you. eTaxBreaks.com/right side. Check out their website, eTaxBreaks.com/right side. Well, listen, at least for the moment, I'm going to begin winding down my discussions of Afghanistan because I've got to get into some things that are happening in and around our world. But I think it's important to just kind of end up this conversation a little bit with what's next? What do we do next? What we've got to do, all right? We can't continue this feckless, wandering that we're in right now. We've got to do. And there is, this airlift is going on. There are any number of people that are being evacuated. The numbers are increasing. However, there is still this great deal of uncertainty. The Taliban are not in control of any part of a section of the airport, according to the Pentagon, which means that, what kind of security is it that Biden says he's coordinating with the Taliban for? Of course, the suicide bombing yesterday and the small arms attack that followed has left not just our dead 13 service members, but also, I believe it was another 15 wounded. And any number, we don't have a full count on the Afghan citizens, but it was in excess of 60 is what I understood. So what do we do next? Well, I'll tell you one suggestion. Bagram Air Base has got to be re-seized. It is obvious that if we're going to trust the Taliban to not allow terrorism to happen, well, they just did. They just did. So are we going to continue down this path? Are we going to really pretend that there's no vital interest in that part of the world? Take a look, folks. And I realize that there are some who have a more isolationist attitude than me. And I am not advancing the cause of warfare here at all when I say this. What I am saying is a forward presence in that part of the world is in our strategic interest. It just is. There is no way in the world you can look at who's surrounding that country and say we do not have an interest there. Because right now you've got Iran on the western border. You got the former Soviet republics, all the stands on the northern border. You got China on the eastern and southeastern border. You've got Pakistan to the... Where did we find bin Laden? In Pakistan. Where have the Taliban been hiding all these years? In the hill country of the tribal regions of northern Pakistan. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. Bagram Air Base is a facility that we could maintain without having to be at war the same way as we maintain Frankfurt or maintain a naval base in Japan or the fact that we have folks still in Korea. I mean, setting up a forward presence does not mean you're at war. And the idea that Biden says we're gonna end this endless war, well, are we still at war in Germany? No, but we had a forward presence that kept the Cold War at bay. Because had we not had, I guarantee you, the Soviet Union would have marched right through the Fulda Gap and taken West Germany, and it would have happened. But we didn't. And a forward presence is a place where you can rally, you can regroup, you can supply, you can forward project, you can operate out of for intelligence purposes. And there's any number of reasons why having a base, just a base, for which, by the way, we would likely pay rent to the Afghan government, would be worth our while. Hey, Copper, let's go ahead and do this. I'm going to go ahead and go to clip number, I think I said two, but what I really meant was, let's see here. Let's go to three, Copper. Can you go ahead and grab clip three? My bad. I think I told you clip two, but I'm going to go with clip three. You tell me when you're ready.
Good to go.
All right, let's play clip three.
The communist Chinese, the Russians, our allies in Israel and Germany and France, the whole world knows what's going on. But our media protect him. The Democrat Party nominate him. Pelosi, hey, look, Pelosi, too. All this starts, and she thinks she's praising Biden, that this is going swimmingly. This is just fantastic. She's such a hack. You know, we need people who are going to stand up. Prior generations, it didn't matter what party. You have American lives on the line. You have military lives on the line. We came together, and we did what we had to do. We have to fix this fast, including internally in this country, because he's incapable of leading this country. He's incapable of making sound decisions.
Yeah, that's clear.
He just doesn't function
that
properly.
All right, what you heard there was the great one, Mark Levin, who actually follows this show, by the way. If you want to stay on after this show, you will get more of that. Mark Levin, a sharp, sharp mind with the ability to incisively dig right into the issues, you know, like a scalpel, but then also, you know, put it down low where the baby goats can eat it. I mean, and so what he just said right there is we have got to fix this and fast because the whole world is watching right now. So, folks, what am I saying? Well, I laid out a 7-point plan yesterday just from Phil Williams' perspective. I'm not the boss. I'm not up there making the decisions. I'm the guy who now has the power of the microphone. But I will tell you this. There's hardly anything that I said in my 7-point plan that I haven't heard from a variety of other sources right now, except for the White House and the Biden administration, one of which is reseize Bagram Airfield. And number two is to go ahead and make sure the Taliban knows there is no date of withdrawal until we decide we're done. And oh, by the way, if we're going to come outside this gate and you get in our way, we're going to kill you. I'm just telling you right now, if we don't put the threat back on the table that we will kill people and break things, then the bombs that went off yesterday will just be the first of them. And it will continue. It just will. We've got to fix this, and we got to fix it fast. Well, listen, I'm going to move into a few other things. They're important. Things that you need to know about your own state. And I think it's important that I bring these up because, folks, your state is at the forefront of a variety of things, a variety of news stories. And as we move towards a short break here in just a minute, I want you to know, first of all, that there's a couple of things that where I take issue with Governor Ivey at times that I'll call out good when I see it. One of which is Governor Ivey issued a statement in support of all Afghan veterans in the state of Alabama recently. And I appreciate that. She also called for all flags to be at half staff across the state of Alabama yesterday. And I think that was also important. I'm going to tell you more about what's happening around your state and around the nation. Things that you didn't even know may have been happening because the news cycles are so filled up with, you know, the Afghanistan crisis. But it's important you to know. So we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More to come. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse of North Alabama, and the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons is this one, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, folks, we're wrapping up our discussion of Afghanistan for a little while, but I do see I've got a call coming in online, too, that I'm interested in. Copper, if you're ready, let's go ahead and take John from ARAB on line two. Hey, John, Phil Williams from Right Side, how you doing?
Hey, good man. How you?
I'm good, sir. What you got?
Hey, I got some buddies that they were the last ones out of Bagram Air Base. They're contractors, and when they left out, they said that, you know, that ASP there at Bagram was huge, and it had everything in there. And they said they didn't take the Army didn't take nothing. They left everything in that ASP. So you're talking Stingers, Javelins, all kinds of shoulder-fired weapons, and we all know Afghanistan, all the arms dealers, that stuff is probably gone, and the Taliban has tons of money, and who knows where those things are going to end up, and who's going to be responsible if we get some civilian airliner shot out of the sky in, you know, Europe or the United States.
Good Lord. I hope that's not true, John. I mean, for those who don't know, by the way, ASP means ammo supply point, and so what John's saying is that They basically just vacated the premises without taking it all with them, to include shoulder surface-to-air missiles, shoulder mounts like Stingers. Man, John, well, I'm glad your buddies are back here, but nonetheless, I God almighty, I hope they're wrong, but that would also not surprise me, but I still hope they're wrong. Hey, John, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for being in the audience. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. Listen, it's Copper. What did Will say on the line a minute ago?
Oh, he had a very important question. Yeah. He wants to ask if it's too early to nominate Biden for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, certainly not, because history dictates that the precedent previously set by the Obama administration is you can get one for nothing even before you take office. It's very likely that he could be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Will from Huntsville, that was Will who had just called in and dropped that question on us. Very cool. Very not cool. But, hey, listen, let me change the subject, all right? Let me change the subject for a bit. There's some amazing things happening right now. You know, I said in my monologue earlier that I feel like the winds of societal change are not blowing as much to the left anymore. I'm starting to feel a wind shift. Any of you who have ever been sailors, and I used to do these little two-man sunfish sailboats, you get to where you can sense the wind sometimes, and you see it, and you have to tack with the wind. It's not like a sailboat always goes in a straight line. Sometimes if it can't swing the sail wide enough, it acts to zigzag. It grabs the wind, and it moves, and you swing the boom around, you know, and you know, helm's a lee, and here comes around the sail. Well, the same is true with political winds. Sometimes they begin to shift. And I'm just telling you, I'm seeing things, one of which is, I mean, the Biden administration has suffered two major significant losses in the Supreme Court in the last 48 hours. This is big doings, y'all. And what I'm loving right now is that one of the biggest ones happened last night. Literally, I'm looking at this story was printed. Wow. This story was printed like after midnight last night. So this thing, it was a case in the Supreme Court that was originated by the Alabama Association of Realtors. Thank you, Alabama Association of Realtors. Bunch of good folks. I've worked with their Montgomery Association when I was down in Montgomery as a state senator. I've worked with any number of realtors as an attorney here in the area where I live. But listen, right, I'm telling you, this case is huge. So most of y'all are aware, by the way, that as part of the COVID restrictions on life, that there was an eviction moratorium that was put in place temporarily by Congress, okay? And now I get it. At first, it was like, okay, everything's shutting down. If government's shutting down your business and you can't get a paycheck and they don't have any relief funds to you yet and they're making you more dependent on government, well, one of the things they're going to do then is they're going to say, hey, nobody can be evicted for the time being. Well, I got news. Not every real – I've said this on the show before. Not every landlord is this big money landlord. In fact, most of them are not. A lot of landlords for like small houses and things like that are mom and pops. They either saved up some money and bought a, you know, an investment house, and they kind of, you know, fixed it up and painted it and rented it out and made a few $100 a month. Or for that matter, maybe they inherited it from mama and they put a fresh coat of paint on it and rented it out. And now they've got people living there who won't pay the rent. I know one guy who does own multiple properties. He said over half of them haven't paid the rent in 9 months, and it's killing him. Well, last night, the case that was, and if you remember, by the way, Biden came out about a month ago. And he said, you know, one of his very kind of weak, tepid, whispering press conferences, you know, I just, well, we just, anyway, he went on to say that he had gotten advice from his constitutional scholars, most of which said, you can't extend that any further. We're done. The deadline's up. But a few of them said, go try it. And so he literally said at the microphone, he knew it might not withstand constitutional muster, but he was going to do it anyway. And what he did was he allowed the CDC to do it. What's the CDC got to do with evictions? Nothing. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court agreed. So in the case, Alabama Association of Realtors versus Health and Human Services, the Biden administration suffered a major loss, and the courts were very, very clear. They said that the court said, we expect Congress to speak clearly when authorizing an agency to exercise powers of vast economic and political significance, and that is exactly the kind of power the CDC is trying to claim here, the court said. And it went on to say that preventing people from evicting tenants who breach their leases intrudes on one of the most fundamental elements of property ownership, the right to exclude those who have not earned the right to be there. All right, and then it goes on to say Biden's administration attempt, this gamble they attempted with extending the CDC's moratorium on evictions completely backfired. And the Supreme Court settled it even further. They didn't just say, nope, can't do it. They went on to say, and hey, CDC, don't ever do that again. That's me paraphrasing. But that's the simplistic Phil Williams version of what the Supreme Court said. They literally said, while the CDC does have broad authority, that authority includes things like disinfection, fumigation, sanitation, inspection. It does not include things like moratoriums. And that was an overreach on their part, and they better not ever do it again. Folks, that's huge. And that's your Supreme Court. That's your conservative Supreme Court. If there's one thing the Trump administration did that I think is going to stand with us for decades, it was the Trump administration's work to make sure that not just the Supreme Court, but the federal district courts were becoming to be more populated with conservative jurists. This is a big deal. So one of those winds of change I was talking about, it's not just that Biden can't hide anymore, because he has to, you can't be the president and not come out to the microphone in a crisis like Afghanistan we're seeing right now. At the same time, other things are unraveling on him. Where's that other one I've got over here? Hang on a second. There it is. So I told you there were two Supreme Court rulings. All right, so unpack this in your mind a little bit. The southern border is a complete chaotic mess, all right? So right now, the southern border is at epic levels. It's almost like there's some kind of migratory shift, and all of Central America and South America wants to come to the United States, and they're doing it all at one time. I mean, when you see it down there, it's a sea of people. You've got, bless their hearts, like McAllen, Texas, and some of those small towns are seeing literally up to 1,000 people a day dropped off, not the ones coming across the border, the ones who have already been detained and then just being dropped off in their city. And they're finding like a 15% positive COVID rate from some of these people. They're just letting them in. You and I have to put masks on our kids at school, and they're starting to ask for vaccine passports, and LSU won't let you into a game unless you've proven your vaccination status down at Death Valley in Baton Rouge. But in the meantime, illegal aliens walk across the border in droves. Well, one of the things we used to have in place under the Trump administration was a thing called Remain in Mexico policy that said if you come to that border and you try to claim that asylum, all right, we'll put you on the list, but then we're sending you back across to Mexico, and you'll have your hearing over there. Well, the Supreme Court came back and upheld that policy. And Biden's attorney general is livid. And I'll tell you more about that when we come back from the break. Because twice in the last 48 hours, the Biden administration's liberal policies have been struck down by our Supreme Court of the United States. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.